Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd of the Valdez Medical Clinic and Dr. at Providence Valdez Medical Center here in Valdez. Thanks for joining us once again. And once again, good news that I think where the rest of the nation might be experiencing huge ups and downs, Valdez has been relatively low numbers for an extended period of time. So I'd like to take a minute to celebrate that, because we always kind of go to the, you know, what's happening, what's bad, and that type of thing. So thankful for that, right? Is that your take on things? I think we're...
Oh, absolutely. And the way that that's, you know, the way that that's possible is that we've had the resources to do that. We have people who are trying to do the right thing. We have the great outdoors so that people aren't stuck in some microscopic apartment and having to mix with too many people the minute they go out the door. I can't imagine being in Tokyo at the moment. And have the resources to actually do the casework to say, where'd you get this from? Who could you have given it to? Have those people quarantined, have those people tested. You know, we've been short on tests at times, but we're not now. We seem to, you know, have people, number one, know about it so that they say, oh, I think I might be sick. I think I should stay away from everybody. But then people carrying out quarantines, you know, it takes all of that, and it takes all of us, and we're doing pretty well for a reason.
Well, Kathy, I appreciate that you the word resources, because definitely I don't think it's just a mindset. You know, it's because people are doing this, or it really are just where we live is a resource, and we're fortunate, and the amount of money that we can put into this and the infrastructure that we have. In fact, the infrastructure that we have has done a great job getting vaccines to folks in Alaska, but that same infrastructure might be our downside in continuing, because it seems like we were far ahead of the pack, and now we're going to kind of have to wait for the rest of the nation to catch up. It's slowing down, right? The number of vaccines coming to Alaska and Valdez as well, right?
Yes. We got some extra vaccine as a state, because vaccine flows from the military separately and flows to the native tribes separately. And so that's part of it. But we also got the vaccine and got it into people. And so we're saying that, you know, our over 65s are, you know, that we don't say we've gotten all of them, but we've gotten a huge percentage of at least in Valdez, we've gotten a huge percentage of people who want the vaccine who are over 65. And so they're going to make us wait for people to catch up.
Well, and it, you know, try to peruse the ideas. Why is that? But I think it is a huge challenge when you think about the communications issues faced. And, you know, we have 3,000 people to communicate with, and we have a limited number of 65 and older. But as you move into the different populations and segments of society, and maybe people not so anxious to get the vaccine, just the sheer communications and maybe keeping the nation all together with that word and that progress, instead of, you know, everyone doing it at different times and differently. I don't know if that factors into it, but definitely that's going to get harder. I think we talked about that once before down the road, actually. You know, finding the healthcare workers were easy, but then as this moves on, and then now we've got different vaccines coming down, it's getting a little just more factors involved, I think.
Yeah, it's complicated when you try to take Valdez and scale it up. You know, we know how to do pods, and whereas in the lower 48, they're going through grocery stores. The amount of work that I had to do to get my 90-year-old parents registered for their vaccine, which they only got last Friday, it was amazing. Poor forms and very complicated, and you got to put down all the kinds of insurance that you have and answer all kinds of questions that weren't medical, that were more, you know, registration kind of questions. I don't think they could have done it. And if you have to go through a website, because you can't have somebody at the health center that you could just call, it makes it a lot harder. Most of our seniors they may have tried online or they even succeeded online, but they still end up talking to the receptionist at the public health nurse. And if you have 100 people, you can do that. If you have thousands of people, you can't do that.
Yeah, definitely. That's that resources. And once again, thankful for that. I wanted to talk a little bit about new technologies, because I know you're reading medical journals as opposed to maybe social media. So are there any, there's a lot of information out there about new strains of the virus, and then possible studies been done on long-term effects of folks who've maybe had it and are a little slow to recover, that type of thing. Any new studies or information on any of those topics, Kathy?
Well, let me tell you, let me talk about the second one first, about the lingering effects. It's, of course, hard to know what the lingering effects are going to be of a virus until it's been around for a while, but they are showing a lot of people, even 6 months after they've had the virus, having some lingering effects of, you know, what's their stamina lung-wise, can they taste or smell, or is that kind of gone for a long period of time? We, of course, don't know what's going to happen in 20 years because nobody's tried that yet. But there's some things that you just discover as you examine people's course over time. Same thing that we're going to have to do to wait and see what happens to people who have had the disease. Are they already immune, or do they need the vaccine? There's a new study out, I think, this week that if you give vaccine to people who have already had COVID, they have 10 times as good a response to the vaccine as people who haven't had COVID. And that's important. Then we don't know how fast that goes away.
But I saw another study too.
Pretty good.
Yeah, they're doing a little search to see that maybe one vaccine is enough if someone's had it.
But, yeah, maybe they only need the booster. Maybe they don't need two, which means that more people can get the vaccine. Because they had that response after just one vaccine, you're right.
Now, Kathy, how many people do you think have had COVID and they don't know?
They're saying up to 50%. Well, 50% of the spread is from asymptomatic people. Of course, asymptomatic people spread it more than people who are lying at home feeling awful and saying, stay away from me. But we're saying that there's a lot of asymptomatic people out there. Maybe a third of the cases, I think, is still the best estimate. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that have had the vaccine. And the antibody test to see if you've had it is just not ready for prime time. It has too many false positives and false negatives to be useful for any one particular person. It's good for, you know, how many people in Switzerland have had it versus how many people in Austria.
And Kathy, we've heard a lot about herd immunity way back, but I haven't heard that so much anymore. Can you address that now? How does that work? And is it possible that's happening here in Alaska?
Well, we have to get to a lot of people having been either vaccinated or had the disease to get herd immunity. Herd immunity is when, you know, if somebody comes in from off the plane and has COVID, if the first 8 people they meet all are immune to the virus, then the virus, you know, it might fall on the other 2 people out of 10, but if the chance of it getting passed on, if all of those people are, or if 80% of those people are immune, or if 90% of the people are immune from either vaccine or the disease, then there's much less chance that it will find a niche in the community, if you can see what I mean. So, whereas if none of those people have been immunized, or only half of them or something, then there's much more chance that that person or that virus that's coming in on a person could find a niche and then go from those people, you know, the half the people that weren't immunized to the next set of 10 people where half of them aren't immunized, and on and on and on and on, and you still got the things going on. Whereas if they're 80%, 90% immunized or already sick, already has been sick, which is herd immunity, then the chance that it's going to come in is only, you know, a tenth as much. And then if that one person out of 10 catches it, the chance they pass it on to somebody is also a tenth as much. And so you just don't get the wildfire spreading effect.
And are we seeing that? You know, I think there was a lot of reports of mass events, and we're not seeing that as much. What do you attribute that to? The attrition, you know, the what you mentioned, does that play into that? Or are we just not hearing about it?
Well, we're not even close to that yet in terms of, you know, herd immunity. So I think people being careful and, you know, doing all the staying away from each other and putting on your mask and washing your hands is what we're depending on at the moment. But as more and more people get immunized, it makes it harder and harder for the virus to spread in any particular population. So,
and also new, you know, it just seems like there's always new things coming out. Well, now we need an N95 mask. Now we need two masks. Anything new on that, right? It seems like we've kind of settled on, you know, wash your hands, stay away from people, keep in circles, and you'll wear a mask around folks. Are you sticking with that, or are you adding more layers to your face?
I think the most important thing to do is to wear a mask and wear it correctly. And if everybody would do that, the same principles still apply. That is, my mask is for you and your mask is for me. The masks, even the simple ones, work pretty well of keeping my big droplets that are close to my mouth and nose from getting onto you who are a distance away. What simple masks are not very good for, or not as good for, is for keeping your mist that makes it across the 4 to 6 feet, you know, makes it across the 6 feet, from getting to me. Those little itsy-bitsy particles can get in the edges, can go through the cloth, especially if it's wet. And so the masks have always been better for the other guy than they are for you. And what everybody's worried about is these new strains that are more contagious out of Great Britain, or, you know, Brazil and South Africa. That's a different problem with their strains. But we're going to get strains like that, and those strains will have an advantage so that they get introduced into a population. They're going to spread more, so you're going to have more of those viruses. And apparently there's already been one detected in Alaska, and we don't know whether that one's already going all the way through the population, or whether it kind of met a roadblock in a quarantine and it's dying out. But as those come, people are saying, well, gosh, what can I do to protect myself? Having worn N95s a bunch, they make me short of breath. You really can't, you know, go out there and do anything strenuous in an N95 without panting a little bit, because they're supposed to make it so you have to breathe in and out through the mask itself. And you have to have a good seal, or it's not working very well. So it's a better seal than the other masks that we wear. And
but you said they're not even available.
It's hard to wear.
and not available, really, right? Like you said, you're having a hard time getting those for the hospital and clinic.
Yeah, if everybody in the country all of a sudden wanted one, we wouldn't have enough. So it's not like it was at the beginning where they were saying, don't even wear a mask. You know, the poor people in the emergency room are having to wear, you know, tape pieces of Kleenex over their face. No, we don't have that situation anymore, but we don't have enough N95s for everybody. And as I say, I don't think people will want to wear them all the time, because it's hard to breathe through an N95 as it should be. So I think the main thing is everybody wears a mask and it fits pretty well, so that and that if everyone wears one, then you don't have to be so protective of yourself, because the other guy's protecting you.
All right. And before we let you go, I know you attended the council meeting last night, and the mask ordinance, just as for news for folks, did get extended. I'm not sure till when, so I don't know if you know that fact, but also I didn't hear the update last night. So anything new to report in the community-wide update?
Not much. They did it for another month. I think they just want to hear about it every month. So it passed with the same 5-2 last night to extend the mask mandate. You know, this whole thing about, well, gosh, if this new strain from Great Britain is more contagious, why is there a race? The thing about mutations in in viruses is they happen when the virus is multiplying. And so the more cases you have, the more chance that you have that just by sheer chance that the virus is going to make a mistake, and the mistake in its replication will actually make a stronger virus that is either makes people sicker or is more contagious. And so the more cases that you have, the more chances that you have that you're going to get one of those mutations that helps the virus instead of the immune system. And so if we can keep from having a bunch of cases before we get everybody immunized and get the herd immunity thing going, if we can just cut down the number of cases, there are fewer chances for the virus to mutate and just happen upon a super virus. So I think that's the idea, is to, you know, I know we're tired of it. I know I've been wearing a mask for forever, and there's not that many cases in Anchorage. There's still twice as many cases in Anchorage as there were last spring or last summer. So don't get tired yet. The end is in sight, and just hang in there.
Well, and speaking of tired, you guys have been running over there at the hospital and clinics to get all these immunizations out. So I guess hopefully you get a little respite. You know, I know you'd rather be giving out more vaccines, but since they're slowing down a bit to try to catch up around the rest of the nation, I hope you could take the opportunity to breathe a little bit and before the next round.
For people to catch up on other things, people have been putting off having their blood pressure taken. People, we just got the colonoscopy computer failure fixed. We had a colonoscope at the hospital that was 12 years old, and they don't fix 12-year-old computers, amazingly enough. So, you know, all these things that people have been putting off medically, you know, what about their diabetes? What about their blood pressure? People have a chance to maybe think about some other of those things at the moment.
All right. Well, we'll end this with a PSA for a colonoscopy. Go get checked, people. All right. There you go. Didn't even know we'd get that in there today, but there you have it. Okay. Well, thanks a lot again for the weekly updates, and we'll, if you're all right with it, we'll check back with you next Wednesday.
I love it.